Whatever. Let's start.
Alright, everyone. It's the Grimlord here, and I'm back with another video. It's actually the games and... Well, that not that. The Grim Articles show, and I'm here with Dead Penetration.
What's up?
But before we get started, and since I'm having trouble adjusting to this new daylight savings time, I was really... Or whatever it is. Spring forward, fall back. Whatever we do around here. It's got me all screwed up.
Spring forward.
Whatever they call it, it's fucked me up. I'm losing an hour of sleep and it's murder on me. Anyway,
once you get used to it, it's not so bad. If you get out any, it's really nice to be 9 o'clock in sunlight.
Right, I guess. But anyway, I was better yesterday, better today than I was yesterday. Yesterday was bad, but I also found out that alcohol and my pentoprazole have really bad interactions, so you can't do that. So yeah, I didn't realize it. I didn't.
What reactions?
Don't know. But they said very serious reactions.
Yeah, he ought to look it up. Sometime.
I felt like shit the next day, like absolute shit, and I didn't even drink that much. So I'm guessing it was the pentoprazole, which means I'll have to wait till 3 months, which I'll probably be strangling my doctors. Like, okay, I want to drink. It's 3 fucking months. Has this shit worked or not? It's like... But, anyway, let's go ahead and get started. Because, I mean, I will say that my condition isn't as bad, and I guess I have to stay away from peanut butter. Apparently I became allergic to fucking peanut butter. Or all peanuts, rather. All nuts. They really
mess...
Yeah, all nuts seem to mess with me. But peanut butter is the worst. See, I kept trying
Latino
to...
Nuts?
I kept trying to figure out what was fucking with me while I was having all this mucus down my... in the back of my throat and everything. And it turned out... I thought it was coffee. But I was like, oh, maybe I'm getting allergic to the coffee. No.
Were you having
what
that
I did,
with peanut butter at the same time or something?
No. What I was doing is I was mixing peanut butter in with my oatmeal.
Oh.
Yeah. And I thought, oh, well, I've been doing that for a while. It shouldn't hurt. But then I said, you know what? Instead of not having the coffee, I'm going to not have the peanut butter. So I removed the peanut butter from my diet, and I had my coffee as normal. And guess what happened? I didn't have the fucking mucus running down my throat. So I'm like, well, it's not the coffee that's messing with me. It's the peanut butter. And to be fair, peanut butter always gave me like a mild heartburn. So I kind of figured that, yeah, maybe, you know, it's just gotten worse. So I'm just going to have to find something else for protein. There's probably other sources I can find for it. But, you know, it's whatever. I eat a lot of meat in my diet anyway. So I guess I'm not really that worried about it. At any rate, before, you know, instead of just going through all my health tops, you'll have to excuse me, I'm still a little kind of woozy here. I guess it's because of the adjusting. But, instead of talking about my health stuff, let's just go on ahead and talk about our sponsor, SpinningRobotPussy.com. Again, Revy has stated that you better go ahead and get one now because the price is going to go up like Biden's gas. So you better go ahead and get one before they're more expensive than normal. And, considering what's going on with, you know, the situation of everything kind of being more expensive, this is also going to be affected. So go ahead and grab it, and we'll see, you know, we'll see what happens in the future. Also check out the Dragon's Treasure Tea. He really doesn't need me to promote, but I'm there to promote him, and definitely check out his tea. There's all kinds of assortments of anime-inspired teas. So go over there and check him out if you're into tea. I think I can drink tea. Tea doesn't seem to mess me up, like, neither does coffee, but
I like
again...
I like hot tea better than I do cold tea.
We discovered that it was peanut butter that is my issue. But yeah, I take one pentoprazole during the day and one at night, and it's not really as bad as some of the other ones, but you can only get it by prescription. It's not one that you can get, like, over the counter.
Yeah, I have to take it. Mm-hmm. Or at least that's what they have me taking for the moment.
Oh, they have you on pentoprazole as well?
I think so. It's one of the It starts with a P and ends with a Z for sure.
Yeah, so that's probably. Yeah, that's what it is. You're probably on it too. Does it look like your little yellow pills?
I think so. One, I do have a yellow pill in my several groups of pills that I have to take.
Oh yeah, I know. You're taking pills like you're 80. I know. I mean, that's just what happens when you get old. You take all these goddamn pills.
Well, these are because
the antibiotics, anti-rejections. I know. But that's what I said. That's what happens when you start getting older. You have to take all these damn pills. There's one of the secret swords.
One of my friends had a transplant when she was, like, in her teens, and she's had to take that many pills. But not over time, you know, you get to stop taking some of them. Like, in a year from my surgery, there's a few medicines that I'll be able to quit for good.
All right. Well, now that we've got all the health stuff out of the way, by the way, I'm not even supposed to see my doctor till fucking... All right, here's what happened. Basically, I don't see my doctor till fucking June 8th, so I'm supposed to be on this till June 8th. That's my GI doctor. And then after that, I don't see my urologist, which I'm not even really having that problem anymore. I don't know. It just, like I said, it comes and it goes, and it hasn't hit me for a long time, so it must just be some... weird thing. I said, but anyway, I talked to the nurse, and she said, there's only one nurse. I said, you only have one nurse and all these patients? She said, nobody wants to work anymore. I mean, that's literally what she said. She's like, nobody wants to work anymore.
I bet she's not releasing the information of, oh yeah, and we made them have to get vaccinated with a supposed vaccine that hadn't really had any
here
test
in
results.
This state. I don't know about that. No, she said nobody wanted to work anymore.
Well, you know, I think on Crowder the other day they had talked about I can't remember if it was the House or if it was the Senate or what. You know, Pfizer was pushing not to have like the records of what was going on with the vaccine release for 80 years.
I know.
And they had to release like so many hundred pages a day.
Yep.
And the first one was saying about how many people out of 1,000 were having deaths and bad reactions. And it was almost over 50%. So a lot of those deaths that they were blaming on the virus was actually from the vaccine.
Okay. Well... now that we've got onto that, you'll have to excuse the motorcycle. Neighbor has a motorcycle. He likes to
ride a motorcycle.
Yeah, he likes to ride it. He's in his Born to be Wild.
Midlife crisis?
Or? Yeah, he looks like it. it does look like it. Anyway, there's another thing I can talk to you guys about, and it involves... well, I mean, some of you guys already have it, but if you don't, I mean, this is weird because I'm not like, you know, war is just a gray area for me. There's really no good guys and bad guys a lot of times. And basically, it's like itch.io is doing a massive freaking bundle of games and, well, I mean, shit that you don't want, but they have games. And basically, it's 992 games for $10. So, everything goes to support Ukraine, but there's some good stuff on there. I found, like, Highway Blossoms on there. I found Celeste on there. I found Double Cross on there, which I played on some of the earlier shows. There's a bunch of stuff on there. Danger Scavenger, Bad Berry, and a lot of good... stuff, AVGN game, just a lot of stuff you might want to check out. But be warned, because there's a lot of fucking woke shit in there, and there's also, like, a bunch of, like, shitloads of tabletop bullshit. So much tabletop bullshit, it doesn't even make sense. It's like, why do you want to give me all this tabletop bullshit? And everybody's like, well, you know, it'd be nice if they had a filter system, because a lot of people aren't interested in that tabletop bullshit. Especially when some of the things they're offering to you aren't even like a game itself, but like an extension for a game that you probably don't even know exists.
Or
it's like, sure. It's like, here's a scenario for so-and-so game. It's like, oh, well, do I have so-and-so game? Oh, I don't. then why am I going to need this tabletop extension bullshit for a game I don't even have and would have to pay more for? Just a book, basically. It's basically people making their own Dungeons and Dragons and all this other bullshit. And it's kind of lame, and there's some furry shit. There's actually one furry in there, and it's like, this is a collection of all the work I did in 2020 and 2021. And I'm like, no thanks, I'll pass. So, yeah, there's some real bullshit in there. And I know it was supposed to be, like, for a good cause, but a lot of people were like, oh, yay, let's put my trash in there. And so you got a lot of people's garbage, but then you got some good stuff in there as well. So it's a lot of digging and a lot of bullshit, and I'm going to end up going through all of it. Dude, I still have 530 files to download, and some of them are gigs. So I don't know how good some of this stuff is, but I got a feeling I'm just going to be junking files. Like, I'm not even going to archive that shit, because there's no use in archiving shit that's just terrible. You know, usually when I archive a game, you know, it's like, it better be good. But if you're giving me some bullshit that I know is bad, that you just threw together, no, I'm not wasting those gigs on my hard drive. That's bullshit. Because Itch, I'm going to be honest with you, Itch is like what Game Jolt used to be. Game Jolt used to be a place where people just put their bullshit little games, and it had a bunch of meme games on there. And Itch is just like a slightly refined version of that, where there's not so much meme games on there. But there's still a lot of that indie bullshit that, like, and I'm not talking about indie as in, like, something that somebody worked on. But something that somebody just threw together or whatever. You've got people that never made a game before in their life and decide they want to make a game there. And, yeah, oh, this will be great. No, it's probably bullshit. So be aware that, you know, the $10 pretty much covers the $10 worth of games that you'll be getting. And I mean actual games, games you'll have fun with. But the rest of the shit, I'm about willing to say that maybe about 100 games out of that whole bundle are probably worth a damn. And that's the truth. There's also some music, which we might be using.
How many games do you actually get with my count?
About 500. Ugh. And I don't know how many are actually worth a damn. Yeah. I know there's some I can name offhand that I've enjoyed. Polyworld's in there. Remember, we played Polyworld. Yeah. I really like that game a lot, so that's definitely worth it. But as a whole, there's just not that good. I mean, you have to go through so much shit. And one of the things that sucks about Itch is you can't download everything. You have to go page by page by page by page by page to download everything in your list. Oh, and by the way, download managers don't work with Itch. Itch has some ridiculous fucking security that every time you try to download something, it'll say access forbidden by server. So I have to literally go and click on every single fucking one if I want to download all the games I bought. It's a fucking nightmare. And some of the shit you can tell is just bullshit tech demos. And some of the shit is demos. Like, it'll literally say, oh, this is a demo. And some of the stuff is a Game Boy game. I think there's a Commodore 64 game. And there's, like, one or two Nintendo games on there, too. So, yeah, that's what you're getting. I mean, I like the idea, but damn, Itch, you guys need to filter. And I mean, I was even looking in the forum. People were like, yeah, they need a filtering option so we can take all this bullshit out of here. What is good is a lot of games run on Mac and Linux. So if you have a Mac and Linux computer, mostly all the games run on either Mac or Linux. So that's pretty cool. But, I mean, Celeste, it's worth the $10. And, of course, Dangerous Scavenger, all the other games I mentioned. There's a game called Shieldmaid MX that looks really fucking cool. There's some stuff on there that caught my attention. Gunhouse looks interesting. Penance looks interesting. I mean, you just have to really go and look through all that bullshit. Oh, there's Nina Aquila, Legal Eagle Volume, Episode 1, which is basically a female, Phoenix Wright. So I think that might be pretty good. So there's that. There's a couple of Tomei. There's some Boys Love on there. Yeah, they threw some Boys Love visual novels. I didn't see any furry visual novels. There's some furry shit in there, unfortunately. So you gotta dig. Oh, there's this furry 3D game that they get in there. That's like a fucking high quality graphics for a furry game. So yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah, it's just digging. I could be here all day talking about all the bullshit in that. Oh, and Kagura. Kagura decided to release a JRPG bundle. So if you want some uncensored JRPGs, their sale ends on the 21st. Also, Jast has announced that My Girlfriend is the Princess is on sale, 50% off, as well as the fan disc, 50% off. With the proceeds going to the Ukraine. So if you buy My Girlfriend is the Princess, you get it cheaper than normal. And apparently that's a pretty good VN. It's, you know, a fun little slice of life. And your girlfriend is the princess. So there you go. Also, one more. GOG released Seed of the Dead 2. They didn't bother to release an uncensored patch because they figured the content was too extreme. Hey, guess what? We played it on the open mic. The open mic, you guys will probably be checking that one out for the game. There's some really good content there. I mean, I did bring up some very important things. But you guys are probably going to check out for the content. And there's... You're going to wonder, well, where's the sex content? Well, exactly, right? But according to GOG, it's just too much. And, of course, there's people saying, well, you know, they sometimes get raped and killed. Yeah, they're zombies and they're monsters, and it's basically Left 4 Dead with waifus. So what do you expect? All it is Left 4 Dead with waifus. You have three waifus that follow you around. They all have different guns, and you have to fuck them to heal them. I like how they called it sexual healing. That actually works for me. But it's fun. It's fun. I like the game. It's a legit first-person shooter. I had a lot of fun with it. So that one came out. Oh, and one more thing. They decided to release... One final thing about Seed of the Dead. It was a stealth release. This is not something GOG does often, because usually they put an announcement page up for every game they put on. But they just threw it up on the front page and didn't even make an announcement page for it. So the developer had to provide R18 patch. He had to provide the 18 plus patch. Which, by the way, you can toggle. So yeah, GOG is pissed about this. Oh, we can't do this. But it's a toggle thing. You can go right on the main menu and it says enable R18 content. You can check it or uncheck it right there on the menu. You don't even have to go into the options. It's right there on the beginning of the game when it loads up. So I have no idea what their stupid problem is. Because we're talking about a game that click, okay, all the H's off. Click, all the H's on. It's fucking bullshit. But GOG also released a JRPG sale. And yes, there is some Arrowgay in there too. Apparently you can get Sound of Drop for $3. We played Sound of Drop here. So if you want to experience Sound of Drop, you know, go for it. It's a good one. We played, I think, the whole goddamn thing. But if you want to play it again...
I had to see it to remember.
No, you weren't there.
Oh.
Yeah. But we played the whole thing, so check that out. And as for the one you all want me to play, Fatal 12, yes, I'll get back to it. Fatal 12 is still like $12 and something, so yeah, it's not quite on sale. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff. Go look at that up. There's all these fucking sales right now of Eroge content and Japanese content, so go check them all out. I'm done talking about them. Let's get on with the show. First, let's look at the Grim Show chats. It's, okay. Invader Tech says, early and hetero surprising. DST is a pain in the ass. I don't know what DST is. Fuck War, Invader says. Super Hot's on that. Oh, yeah, I even played that. You know, they had to get rid of some stuff because they figured it'd be too traumatic. Oh, Daylight Savings Time. Yeah, I hate it. The bundle's now at 998 items as of this video, so stuff was being added. Oh, shit.
You know, there's a couple places in the country that don't have a daylight savings time. I can't remember where.
I wonder what they added. Hopefully it's not more of these goddamn, here's a swashbuckling scenario. I don't care. I don't play tabletop games. That was Super Hot VR that got censored. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, well, I don't play Super Hot VR. There's two VR games in that bundle, by the way, I think. Oh, yeah, the muffin. The muffin one is VR. Mm. Yeah, muffin fight. That's VR. So, yeah, there's a few VR games I noticed, right? Not too many adult games, but that makes sense. Anyway, let's get on with it. We have a lot of articles. We have a lot of articles, so I need to shut my mouth. Okay. First of all, we're going to go on and talk about something I should have talked about a while ago. Sorry this is old, but we need to start where I was. And that's with Vigilant Citizen. This is a bit of an old article. It was published 3 weeks ago on February the 21st, but it is important. Jean-Luc Brunel, who allegedly procured over 1,000 girls to Jeffrey Epstein, found hanged in jail. Jean-Luc Brunel, said to be Jeffrey Epstein's pimp, was found dead hanging in his jail cell. Several people close to the case do not believe that it was a suicide. Did Brunel know too much? Jean-Luc Brunel, the notorious fashion agent who was suspected of procuring over 1,000 girls to billionaire pedophile Jeffrey Epstein, was found dead in his jail cell on February 19th. The apparent cause of death, suicide by hanging. Sure. In 2016, Jeffrey Epstein was also found dead by hanging in his jail cell. In both cases, no camera footage was available, of course. Brunel's death occurred only days after Prince Andrew settled his lawsuit with Virginia Guffrey, who accused him of sexual abuse while she was a minor. According of the Telegraph, Queen Elizabeth herself will provide money to pay for the settlement, an estimated $20 million. I bet she will. Is the occult elite actively silencing anyone who could blow a lid on the massive scandal involving some of the world's most powerful people? A year after Epstein's death, Steve Bing, a billionaire Hollywood director who was close friends with Epstein, died mysteriously by falling from the 27th floor of his apartment building. I'm sure he did. Just, you know, misstepped. It was like that Spider-Man.
A little more than a coincidence. It was like that everybody involved is dying off in weird ways.
It was like that Spider-Man one. I fell into a vat of electric eels. I fell into an a super collider.
It's like, you gotta watch where you fall. I've never been electrocuted into having superpowers. I have shook on the ground and almost shit myself.
It said, you gotta watch where you fall. I was like, yep, fall right. Oh, man, didn't even know it. Oh, damn.
Now, electric eel has enough amps to kill you.
I bet it
does.
It
takes less than one amp to kill a human.
Oh, yeah. While the official cause of death was said to be suicide, some claim that he was killed Russian mafia style because he knew too much. One key person remains in the sordid affair, Ghislaine Maxwell. Epstein's longtime partner acted as a madam throughout the years by facilitating the abuse of young girls. She's currently in jail and her family is convinced that Brunel was suicided. They also believe she might be next. I do too. Here's a look at Jean-Luc Brunel. Brunel was a prominent model scout who was credited for discovering Sharon Stone and Monica Bellucci. In 2004, he founded MC2, a model management company that was financed by Epstein. Through the company, hundreds of girls were recruited by Brunel to be trafficked and abused by Epstein and his circle of elite friends. According to witnesses, Brunel used his reputation in the fashion industry to lure poor girls into a global ring of underage slavery. In a 2015 affidavit, accuser Virginia Guffrey stated, a lot of the girls came from poor countries or poor backgrounds, and he lured them in with the promise of making good money. Jeffrey Epstein has told me that he has slept with over 1,000 of Brunel's girls, and everything that I have seen confirms this claim. In court documents that were filed in both the United States and France, Guffrey said she had sexual relations with Brunel on several occasions when she was aged 16 to 19. She added that both Brunel and Prince Andrew abused her in Little St. James, which was Jeffrey Epstein's private island. Brunel's history of abusing models was known for decades. Burnell was the subject of a 7-month investigation by CBS producer Craig Pires and reporter Diane Sawyer for 60 Minutes. The investigative segment American Models in Paris, which aired on the 23rd of October 1988, so y'all may want to go look that up, covered the conduct of Burnell and fellow Parisian modeling agent Claude Haddad. Several American models who worked with Burnell were interviewed by 60 Minutes and described their experiences of the culture Burnell fostered, where the models were routinely drugged and sexually abused. Despite these accusations, Burnell remained free and kept on running his agency while traveling abroad for scouting assignments. Due to his untouchable status, French authorities nicknamed him Le Fantôme, the Ghost. During that time, that sounds like something from Pink Panther. During that time, Burnell became close friends with Jeffrey Epstein, who shared his obsession with abusing girls. Court documents state that Burnell once sent 3 12-year-old sisters from Paris to America so they could be abused by Epstein as a birthday present. Court documents also show that the modeling agency MC2 was a front for a global underage sex ring organized by Jeffrey Epstein. On 16th of December 2020, Burnell was intercepted by police at Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris, or Paris rather, as he was about to board a one-way flight to Dakar, Senegal. Oh! He was then placed under guard-of-view custody for questioning in relation to rape, sexual assault, criminal conspiracy, and human trafficking, with all the allegations involving minors. Jesus. Since then, Burnell has been incarcerated at La Santé, the notorious maximum security prison in Paris. On February 19th of 2022, Burnell was found dead in bizarre circumstances. On February 19th, 2022, Jean-Luc Burnell was found hanging by his bedsheets in his prison cell. French prison authorities told local media that no breach in security at the prison had occurred, and an investigation into the cause of death had been launched. A few years prior, Jeffrey Epstein was found dead hanging in jail cell using his bedsheets. They're just not going to have to give these guys bedsheets anymore.
And the thing was, the bedsheets they were given were paper, so you could not hang
it. How in the world?
So the bed sheets that were used were either brought in to frame them up, or...
It was another. Due to the fact that most prison cells in France are not monitored for privacy, is what they say in parentheses here, there's also no footage of Brunel's suicide. This led some observers to believe that Burnell might have been murdered by the same forces that killed Epstein. A source told the Daily Mail that there was no indication that Burnell had suicidal tendencies. There was no obvious fears for the prisoner's health, and he was not on a suicide watch, having already been in prison for many months. Thaisia Hoisman, an ex-model who accused Burnell of drugging and abusing her in 91, also questioned the suicide narrative. She says in a tweet, "Jean-Luc Burnell has been found dead in his prison cell. He supposedly hung himself last night. I am in shock. Was this really suicide? And it feels disappointing. This is a completely different ending without any real justice for his victims." In the wake of Burnell's death, Ghislaine Maxwell's family also stated that the suicide was highly suspicious. Ian Maxwell, Ghislaine's brother, told the New York Post, "It's really shocking. Another death by hanging in a high-security prison. My reaction is one of total shock and bewilderment." Ian Maxwell added that Ghislaine was put into a room at the prison with a psychiatrist and two others, including a guard with everything recorded on camera. Nevertheless, he fears for her safety. Despite the psychiatrist advising to the contrary, she was deemed a suicide risk and they are continuing to wake her up every 15 minutes in the night. Ian Maxwell insisted that Ghislaine is not suicidal. He also found it ironic that Epstein and Burnell, who died of apparent suicides, were not on suicide watches in their respective prisons. Epstein had been taken off suicide watch shortly before his death in August of 2019. The death of Jean-Luc Burnell mirrors the death of Jeffrey Epstein in every way possible. He is the latest casualty in an apparent ongoing operation to silence anyone who might expose the occult elite's sick tendencies. Jeffrey Epstein's flight logs revealed that a great number of prominent celebrities, businessmen, politicians, and elite people were involved in a sex ring of underage slaves that operated across the world, most notably on Epstein's own private island. Jean-Luc Burnell was accused of recruiting girls for this elite ring. Epstein reportedly boasted that he personally slept with over 1,000 girls that were shipped to him by Burnell. In other words, Burnell knew everything about this sordid affair, and there was a risk that he could spill the beans on several elite psychopaths, and now he's dead. Ghislaine Maxwell might be next. #Burnell didn't kill himself. Right.
I mean, it sounds legit to me. I don't know. There's no point. There's more for other people to lose with them being alive than dead, so.
We got another one, but damn, okay. Let's see if I can get to it. March the 4th is when this was sent, but I don't know what the date on it is. Okay, it says, my company is not my family. Fed up with long hours, many employees have quietly decided to take it easy at work rather than quit their jobs. Last spring, as the country experienced a once-in-a-generation employment boom, American workers took advantage of their newfound options in all sorts of ways. Millions swapped their toxic jobs for better ones. Others negotiated for a promotion, a raise, and remote work privileges. But a job recruiter I'll call Justin saw an opportunity to fulfill a different ambition. He liked his job. He just wanted to work less. He'd spent much of the past decade putting in 10 to 12 hour days, and he was done giving up so much of his life to his career, especially now his wife had given birth to their first child. After years of pedaling furiously, Justin was ready to coast. As the great resignation heated up, Justin saw firsthand how the employers he worked with were increasingly desperate to hold on to their workers, which gave him an idea. Companies have a vice grip on even their moderately good employees, he told me. So I thought, what if I just scaled back? Thus began a delicate experiment. Every week, Justin pushed the boundaries ever so slightly, logging on half an hour later, logging off half an hour earlier, taking long lunches, running errands in the middle of the day. Wow. He struggled as he tried to shed his old work ethic, admonishing himself as lazy, wondering whether he was a burned-out failure. His colleagues asked why he was no longer returning their late-night emails until the next morning. For a guy who'd always gone above and beyond, it was uncomfortable, doing the bare minimum. I was sweating bullets, but I was like, look, they're not going to fire me, he said. It would take them months to find someone new and train them up. My lesson productivity is better than zero productivity. Today, Justin is working the least he ever has, 40 hours a week. And he's not alone. Oh, I'm sorry. And he's not done. In the months ahead, he's hoping to work even less. Over the past few weeks, I've been talking to professionals like Justin who are strategically dialing it back at work. During the coronavirus pandemic, they came to see work as just that, work. For the first time in their lives, they view their jobs as a source of a paycheck to support themselves and their families, not a higher calling that demands their utmost devotion. And the pandemic created the ideal conditions to live out their new resolve. The hot labor market has ensured their job security, while the rise in remote work is making it harder for their managers to monitor the effort they put into their jobs. It was the perfect time to be a recovering overachiever. Many Americans would call these employees lazy, unambitious, or shiftless, loafers who are willing to go the extra mile, or burnouts who are unable to do so. That's why everyone I spoke with agreed to talk only on the condition that I swapped their real names with pseudonyms. But such name-calling misses the point. If you ask the employees, they say they're making a considered, deliberate decision. They're done letting companies squeeze free labor out of them. After years of feeling exploited by their employees, the late nights, the lost weekends, the demand for fealty, the tables have turned. In a sense, these professionals are mounting a secret resistance against the status quo. Hustle culture is over, and in some corners of corporate America, it's being replaced by coasting culture. I have seen it.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
We've seen it at our work.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, even if you work and do your best, they always threaten, we can get rid of you and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, they can't find anyone to replace.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially all the crap I'm willing to put up with.
Right.
I say, it doesn't bother me if I don't adhere to it.
Okay, now let's see this one. We got another one here. This is Bloomberg Wealth. Drivers facing record gas prices, they say they pay more to stop war. We know about this, though. This is basically them saying, oh, we don't mind paying the high gas prices. Yeah, you will.
Yeah.
You will.
You heard what Colbert said. They showed a clip of it. He doesn't mind paying a couple extra bucks for gas because he drives a Tesla or something.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, someone makes like $60 million a year to do practically nothing. He's not even funny anymore. I remember when he was on Comedy Central with the Colbert Report. That was funny. But I'm sure he had better riders and they weren't woke at the time and all kinds of stuff.
Well, this one here I've got, you may have heard about this on Nick's show, but I was pretty upset about it. It's from Means TV. This woman is running a sexy summer camp for children in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
She says she thinks it's good for toddlers to masturbate. Let's listen to this bullshit. If I can get it to work. I'm not hearing anything. I'm not hearing anything at all. Well, I'm not hearing nothing. That's not good. Here I was thinking, oh, I know what I have to do. I think I have to full screen it before it does something. Here it goes.
You know, what they were arguing, too, is it opens the door for pedophilia. You know, how a while back they're saying...
Yes, it does.
Just because we're letting... or doing this or that doesn't mean it's going to open the door for pedophilia. And then now they're wanting to have a camp where they teach toddlers how to masturbate.
I'm not hearing anything from it. Hold on, guys. Let me, well, I don't know. I was going to play it. Let me see if I can find it on YouTube real quick. It's on Means TV.
Yeah.
Do you have it?
I don't have it because you have to pay for it.
No.
I don't think it's worth it.
No, you're talking
about
the clip.
I can look it up real quick. See, if it was on Crowder today. It's Steven Crowder. But,
Not on Means TV. One year ago, 7 months ago. Is it okay for kids to masturbate at the age of 15 to 17? Well, 15 to 17 years, but that's a Muslim woman. Should primary school children be taught about masturbation? That was 3 years ago on UK's This Morning. I'm not finding it. But if you do... Oh, I found it. Hold on. I found Means TV. What is this? I guess I can subscribe. Well, I will. I'll subscribe to all. All right. Now, I'm trying to find it. Oh my god, dude. YouTube may have jacked this one.
Teaching masturbation to kids. YouTube supports this. What it?
YouTube isn't. It's not here.
Sex education. You probably have to look in Bing or Google.
Yeah.
Probably Bing.
Well, I'm finding 1 year ago, 10 months ago.
But you know,
I think Means TV
all the streaming
is gone.
Channels.
Yeah, I think Means TV is gone. So no, it's not. I'm not gonna find it here. Okay, so go ahead and you need the video.
Ooh, here's Better Sex 101, Male Masturbation, How to Do It Right. And it's taught by a woman.
Yeah.
I needed to go to a woman to
learn
how
get
to...
us the video on a site that is not Twitter, because apparently it's not playing.
How to mess.
Let me see. Let me see real quick if a video does play. I'm going to check... I'm not promoting anybody, by the way. Absolutely not promoting anybody at all here. Oh, wow. Oh, hey, it's working. Okay, it is working.
Is it a chubby blonde woman?
No. Okay, so it works on YouTube. So did you find it?
Google it.
Well, Google it and see if you find it, because then I can find it. Somebody find me the video so I can play it here. Yes, Mal, I need the video. You can find it, please send it to me. Hold on, he says. Can't be on Twitter. Oh, this is where I started getting the elemental armor. Yeah, the elemental armor is awesome. I'm talking about Rika. We're still playing Holy Knight Rika. And I love this look for the character. It's actually a look when you get all the parts of it. It makes her look cool, and it actually is really effective in the game. So, yeah, I use this look for pretty much most of the game, because it's the closest thing you have to her looking like a robot. And, yeah, Town of Undead's a really fun stage. Now we're in the parts of the game that I actually really enjoy.
New York City teacher. That's last year.
Alright. By the way, the game, since we're waiting, is Holy Night Rika. You can get it on DL site for about 28 yen. That's not very expensive, guys. Trust me. You can afford it. It's worth it. It's a fun game. And again, read the reviews for the English version. You will find people at the bottom saying, hey, this game is actually fun. Like, there's a lot of really fun gameplay here. And it is. You can see it's a fun game. Like, it almost looks like a PS3, PS4 kind of game with the graphics and stuff. So, it's definitely worth playing. And it gets less linear, if you notice. Can't find it?
Oh, here it is.
Okay.
50 seconds.
Okay, well, hold on. Let me see your phone.
It's the Twitter. But...
Oh, no, if it's the Twitter. Yeah, the Twitter. That's fine, because your phone can probably play it. I just have to have it up here.
That's how we should, you know, like, get down with yourself, explore your own body. Masturbation is real.
Okay, make sure that's all there.
Yeah.
Healthy, and I recommend it.
Hold on. Is that...
50-second clip. Which is about how long?
People of all ages. All ages. As soon as my nephews could talk, they were doing that. That's what they were doing. Kids touch themselves. Kids start to ask questions, and we teach them the language for their bodies, right? That's your nose. Touch your nose. Show Aunt T you can touch your nose. But my sister's not saying that when they're tugging at their penis, right? But it feels good, right? We have to learn ways to talk to young people about this so that they know how to explore their body consensually so that it's not in public, right? We don't want people exploring their bodies in public. That's not consensual. But exploring your body at any age, grandmas, grandpas, all of us need to be exploring our body. That's how we should, you know?
Like, oh my God, that's crazy. Okay. Oh my God, my eyes rolled. I rolled my eyes. I think we got it, Mal, but thanks. But, oh my God, dude. No! Just fucking no. Why are you just, you know, and I'm sure she's, like, doing this with the best of intentions, and then she's like, oh, well, you know, I saw, you know, some of these damn crazy southern broads. Oh, I saw it. It didn't seem like it'd be that big of a deal. Well, it is a big deal. Because what is it? What happens when you sexualize the children? What is the thing, DP, that happens when you sexualize the children?
Pedophiles.
You get pedophiles. You're basically going to draw them.
Pedophilia.
You're going to draw them to pedophiles.
And when they see other people going for the same things that they're hoping for, they're like, "Well, it should be okay, or at least I know I can get away with it."
There's a book I have on my shelf where a child psychologist actually had to deal with a child that was raped, and it knew nothing. It was a very small child, so it doesn't know what was going on at the time. Real sick situation. So what he had to do was teach the child that, because the child was so messed up that it thought that in order to say hello to somebody, it was a sexual favor. That's how messed up that child became. So think about it. If we're teaching children this kinds of things, that, by the way, this psychologist spent years trying to fix.
Well, you know, a lot of times kids that are molested or raped when they're younger usually associate love, if it's, you know, someone they're close to in the first place, they associate love with sex. And they associate, like I said, friendship or anything, like meeting someone with sex. It really, you'd be surprised, you pretty much ended,
well,
or caused years or a lifetime of damage when...
Well, this here from the Washington Examiner actually wrote an article. I didn't see this, but it's important and worth talking about. A Kentucky-based virtual sex education summer camp taught young attendees how to masturbate, obtain an abortion, and have sex while on drugs. The Sexy Sex Ed Camp was a virtual camp based out of Hazard, Kentucky that took place in the summer of 2021. The organizers have been operating sex ed workshops for children since 2012, according to their... What the fuck? Okay, the camp first gained attention on Twitter Tuesday after the account Libs of TikTok, which we did play the video from, and Manhattan Institute scholar Christopher Rufo shared information about the camp, including details about the camp curriculum, which included a workshop on masturbation in which participants learned techniques to make the most of their masturbation experience. These women are running a sexy summer camp for children in rural Kentucky with lessons on sex liberation, gender exploration, BDSM, being a sex worker, self-managed abortions, and sexual activity while using illicit and illicit drugs. Jesus, look at these crazy damn women. Look at them!
They probably look like a bunch of Karens or what?
Right! Here's the agenda for the camp. I'll be doing more extensive report in the week. Oh my God. Do I dare?
The ones teaching sex are probably the ones not getting laid in the first place.
Do I fucking dare to see what these damn lesson plans are? Okay, what are they teaching? Participants will explore personal views on self-pleasure as well as learn techniques to make the most out of their masturbation experience. I said it again. The workshop will include discussion, games, and some hand-on practice on hands. Join All Access EKY for this reproductive health workshop designed for people of all ages and knowledge levels. During this session, facilitators will review some of the basics and beyond of human sexuality, including anatomy and physiology, sexual pleasure, and gender identity. Facilitators will discuss the steps to conception as well as explore disparities in pregnancy rates. Participants will leave informed and excited to share what they've learned with others. Participants will learn about sex assigned at birth, biological sex, and gender identity, and how and why they might be different from what we learned in school. They will examine gender labels and how they are used, how what we say can harm or uplift others, and how to be compassionate and encourage others to do the same.
Basically, brainwashing.
Well, there is one very interesting one, when I was reading that book on gender, whatever, that comic on gender stuff. They basically said there is a type of asexuality where people have sex with people they're not attracted to. And I said, well, hey, there we go. You got to find these asexual people that are like, I'm not attracted to you, but I just want to have sex. It's like, really? Where were those people?
A lot of the asexual people that you see
are not attractive. I know.
They look like,
I know,
either an angry lesbian
or, yeah.
And they're not.
Well, you might have that hot lesbian that's kind of, you know, I don't mind a little bit of a butch, but if it's too much, it's too much.
Saying for every asexual.
Right.
Most of them I've seen, right. they definitely are not lookers.
Now, this workshop will focus on friendship and romantic relationships and can be applied to family relationships as well. Participants work together to define intimacy and examine behaviors they find important in friendships and romantic relationships. So this is actually part of the book that I agree with, the only part. Because, yes, it is important to discuss all this stuff. I just have no idea why they're bringing it in with all this LGBTQ nonsense. Yes, it's important to discuss... boundaries and stuff like that when it comes to relationships and friendships. Yeah. They identify health.
That young.
Of course, but this to be fair, this was for all ages. Yeah. So yes, it did have young people, but it also had older people and all that. Yes.
Saying if a kid doesn't know anything about sex,
yeah, kids shouldn't be there. But with adults that want to learn about that kind of stuff, and some people definitely do, that's fine. But if you're a kid, yeah, you probably should be a kid. Like, I mean, I was a kid. I didn't know anything about this shit. I thought girls had cooties and all that stuff. And I liked life better that way.
I think I was probably about 8 or 9 when I first had the talk, I guess.
Right. So they identify healthy and unhealthy relationship characteristics. And by the way, I've looked at all the things they consider toxic. And it's not what you'd expect. It's actually shit that you'd legit consider toxic. Like, I looked at everything. Like, super fucking jealousy. A partner that's like, oh, you can't hang out with your family and your friends. You gotta hang out with me. You know, stuff like that. People that want you all to themselves. People that love bomb you and try to, like, rush into marriage. Stuff we have seen and experienced. Like, that's real shit that we actually consider toxic. So I have nothing against that. But what I have is all this other bullshit. Oh, well, you're not... No. The first part of it, yes, okay, people need to understand, like, you don't need to be, like, a fucking jealous, crazy bastard, either way you put it, and people do deserve their own life, yes, that's true, but all this other shit, no, you're mixing, it's like you're taking a bag of Skittles and you're putting dog food in it, like, it's not gonna taste good. You go and you reach a handful, and you've got fucking kibbles and bits, you've got kibbles and bits. And Skittles. And it's probably going to taste like ass.
They had those new energy drinks with Skittles flavored.
Oh, Lord.
Like it would be good.
Participants will leave. Okay. It says, they identify healthy and unhealthy relationship characteristics and learn about ways to nurture healthy relationship behaviors and address unhealthy ones. I have no issue with any of that.
What is their idea of unhealthy and healthy?
If it's the same thing as in the book I read, then I have no problem with it. Because I read a comic book that was talking about it, you know, published in Portland, believe it or not. And I was like, I thought it was going to be like, you know, toxic masculine. No, it was nothing like that at all.
It was published in Portland.
Recently!
Yeah.
All that shit's recent. It was part of a Humble Bundle. I didn't even know it. I was expecting it. It was pure cringe until we got to that part. I was like, I went on for 45 minutes talking about... And one of the most important things they talk about in that book... This is legit. This is important for, like, incels. Look.
Yeah.
One of the things they mention is that you have to be able to enjoy your own company.
Well, yeah.
That is one thing that a lot of people... And one other thing they said, you're not two halves of one whole. You're two wholes that complement each other. And I was like, yes, that's fucking it. Because you're supposed to, if you're going to be dating somebody, you basically want to give them a reason to date you. It's not just like, what can you offer? I'm not talking about money and all that stuff. But what kind of person are you? What kind of personality do you have? Are you interesting at all? Are they interesting at all? Most women aren't all that interesting. Some can be, but a lot aren't. But if you have a personality, they'll cling to you because they like people that actually have something going on. They're not just like, oh, I wish I had a girlfriend so bad. My life sucks. Dude, nobody fucking wants to be around that person. Not even other dudes want to be around that kind of person because that person's a fucking buzzkill. Like, women are not going to be attracted to a guy that's like, oh, my life is so... I mean, and like, when I was dating, and I mentioned this already during the comic, so I'm not going to bring it up too much. I'm not going to go, you know, as far as I did there. But basically, when I was dating, I was seeing this girl. We were hanging out in her car, basically. I said, you know, I enjoy this talking and all that. We're having a good time. But I'd honestly rather be watching, like, the rest of that X-Men cartoon that I was getting into. Because I had not finished the 90s X-Men. And I was really getting into it. And I was thinking, you know, this is fun, but I feel like there's other things I want to do. And like TFM said, you know, when you do something, you're giving up something else. You're always sacrificing something else. Because the biggest resource you have is time. When you give up time, you know, there's something else you could be doing. Like, if you're playing a video game, well, maybe there's something else yet you're giving up to play the video game. Or if you're exercising, well, you're not going to be doing another different thing. Like, if you spend hours in the gym, there's hours that you're not doing other things. If you're spending lots of time playing video games, then you won't be doing... maybe the dating or something like that. Because you got to work hard. Like, if you want to be like Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk, you have to put ridiculous amounts of hours into your company.
Well, you can't play video games if you want to be those people. Because they're all about
They're always
business.
Working. Always working. Always about business. Always focusing. They sacrifice those things in order to get the things they want. So, yes, that's very, very important. And that's what I'm saying here. You have to, you know, you got to give up things.
No, like Elon Musk has, like, days scheduled we actually for him got to a good, sleep at the office.
We actually got a good article about that, but we'll get through to this. Good communication is important for good relationships, especially intimate ones. Yes. So why is it so hard to talk about sex? We'll explore that and develop skills for honest, respectful communication that helps folks negotiate what they do and don't want, practice safer sex, and improve their relationships, both sexual and non-sexual. I have no issue with that either. I mean, not kids, obviously, but people, you know, maybe teenagers. Teenagers are okay, you know, that are learning about sex, learning about proper communications, you know, because a lot of people are getting their education from porn, and porn is a fucking horrible resource to get any kind of sexual information from. Then, of course, we have the sex ed for trans people, euphoria through gender exploration and euphoria through sex? What? Pre-sex discussion, language, body diversity, masturbation, STIs, gender exploration, affirmation, BDSM, and more. God, I hope they're not teaching the kids BDSM. Please, God, tell me that's not what's going on here. That's worse than Starless if they're teaching kids BDSM. And then they're using the World Health Organization's listed protocols. Info guide will provide information about self-managed abortion and reduced self-managed... Okay, that can fuck off. There's one more thing that he talked about here. There's a couple more. Pelvic floor. Where is it? What is it? Why should I care? Explore and discuss this sometimes mysterious body part, what an important part it can play in the journey towards pleasure and overall health. Okay, again, this is good for adults and, you know, teenagers, but it's not good for kids. Join Dr. Meredith Brzezinski, a pelvic health physical therapist, to discuss the role that your pelvic floor plays in the pees, pee, poop, and most importantly, pleasure. Now, that seems like it's geared to children, and that is a no-no in my fucking...
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Okay. Yeah, that's...
Basically, they're talking about why you do Kegel exercise.
Yes, but kids should not be doing fucking Kegels. I don't want anybody trying to convince me they should. This workshop will explore the nuances of engaging in sexual activity while using illicit and illicit drugs. Together, we explore why people engage in sexual activity while on drugs, the nuances of substance abuse and consent, and harm reduction strategies around having sex on substances. That sounds like a bad idea. Well, the name of the course is called Sex on Drugs. Then we have, what is this? What the fuck does this have to do with sex? Listen to this one. A short history of eugenics in Appalachia and the Mountain South. An exploration of how rural people have been targeted for reproductive control by the state, past and present. We'll talk about what eugenics is and isn't, and learn the legacy of eugenic laws and practices. Really? Join All Access EKY for this contraceptive methods workshop designed for people of all ages and knowledge levels. During this interactive workshop, facilitators will review the methods of contraception. Participants will also learn proper condom use and explore negotiating condom use. Okay, that's important. I understand condom use. That's important. By the end of this session, participants will have a deeper understanding of the many contraceptive methods available to them and be able to discuss those options with others. And this, okay, one more, or two more. In this workshop, I will give information, tips, advice, etc. to folks who are differently abled, like myself, and on the road to sex liberation, discovering their bodies, being a sex worker, or hiring sex workers, navigating relationships, and more. I thought it was illegal to hire a sex worker in the United States.
Not a certain part. Like, I think it's only in Nevada.
Yeah, but they're talking about...
Just anywhere.
Yeah. Fertility awareness is a life-changing system of tracking your body's signs so they change throughout your menstrual cycle. Getting to intimately know your body and do is what your body is doing and observe its changes. See, that's okay if you're going through puberty, teenage, stuff like that. Yes, it's important to understand your body. As you are a kid and are not going through any kind of puberty, no! Getting to intimately know what your body is doing and observe its changes throughout the month can teach you all kinds of things about your health and wellness and help you meet your goals, whether you are trying to avoid getting pregnant, actively trying to get pregnant, and even if your sex life includes no risk of pregnancy at all, ever. Wish you knew more about what your body's up to? Want to be able to predict when your period will arrive? Even if yours is far from regular 28-day cycle? Feel like you're not sure if that discharge down there is normal? Want to be reminded you are a magical creature and your body's full of wisdom for you to try to transmit if you would just pay attention and learn its language? This workshop is for you. That's it. That's all they've done. So I agree with some lessons for adults and younger people. And when I mean younger people, I mean adolescents, teenagers. And maybe older people too, that's fine. But kids, no, there should not be toddlers. The woman that's like, toddlers? No! Whoa! Immediately. Don't ask questions. Whoa! I'm sorry, that's disgusting. And it takes years of therapy to ever bring a child back from that pit of despair.
All you gotta do is think about when people are trying to tell me stuff when I was little, how did I think about it? Because how I processed it in my mind is completely different of how I see it as reality now.
Oh, and they changed it a little bit. They changed it a little bit. According to its website, Sexy Sex Ed is a workshop that compels teenagers and people of all ages. So it's mostly geared to teenagers. I have no problem with teenagers. The gender shit, no. No, because that's fucking them up
and
already.
And this is the sex camp, though.
Yeah.
That I have a problem with because you're basically like...
Well, the teenagers are fucking. The teenagers are fucking.
Well, I know they are.
And maybe it's important for them to learn, like, the proper boundaries and shit. But the problem is, proper boundaries is fine. Learning consent is fine. That's not all they're trying to teach.
They're trying to
teach the gender and the all that crazy crap. And let me tell you something. When I was reading through those first four sections of the book, I was more confused than anyone you'd ever believe. They're like, there are infinite gender expressions. What the fuck do you mean, infinite gender expressions? And people can start identifying as, according to the book, aliens and robots. Okay, I'm fucking done at that point. No, you've lost me. That's not okay. That's stupid. That's playtime. That's imaginary playtime. Oh, I'm an X-Man now. No, it's not going to work like that. The age ranges for the 2021 camp were not listed on the website, and it's not known if the camp will be held again in 2022. And also, they were saying, using visual and performance art, open dialogue, and popular education methods. Remember, they use open dialogue always. They use that term always. The left does. Sexy Sex Ed fills a vital gap in reproductive education as a creative cultural healing solution in rural Appalachia, the website says. And it also says, and this is interesting because they changed one of the P's in that Twitter thing that I talked about. This is interesting. From July 6th to August 26th, the workshop expanded to a virtual summer camp that charged attendees up to $500. Among the sessions of the camp were the three P's: peas, poop, and pleasure, sex on drugs, and oh, here's something that I didn't see before: over-sexualization and policing of blackness. We didn't see that one listed.
I mean, we don't police enough on blackness.
The lesson plan for Sex on Drugs Day said the workshop was... Well, we talked about that. Sexy Sex Ed was founded by Tanya Turner, who describes herself as a, quote, femme. Femme. That's always a bad thing. If you look on the itch stuff, you know, because you really need to familiarize yourself with this stuff so you can be aware of it, so you know to avoid it. If you see the word femme instead of female, F-E-M-M-E, that always has to do with somebody that is trying to identify as a female. It's saying, I'm not a female, but I'm femme. A femme fat queer. And remember, they're taking queer back. That's what they said. We're taking queer back. But they said that some people don't want to use the term queer. Because it was considered a slur back in the day. Magical pleasure worker, educator, and artist, according to a biography that was on Sexy Sex Ed's website. Headshots and biographies of Turner and the other educators with Sexy Sex Ed were available on the website early in the afternoon on Tuesday, but were taken down sometime after 1:30 p.m. EST as tweets by Rufo highlighting the camp's activities went viral. Sexy Sex Ed did not respond to a request for comment. So, yeah. Now, we've got some stuff here. Whiplash says, these people should be killed. I genuinely hope these subhumans die the most painful death possible. They deserve to experience total agony without relief until they expire. In Roblox, of course. Self-manage abortion? So what? Are they giving out free rusty coat hangers? And he says, again, kill these pedophiles in Minecraft. Yes, I agree. That's too goddamn much. Somebody posted in the open mic. Grim, remember healthy hentai lifestyle. They taught kids in their sex in front of the kids. I would not want that society in real life. I'm fine with it in fiction. Yes, I was completely destroyed. You notice I haven't played any of Healthy Hentai Lifestyle. It's not that I'm not going to go back to it, but that scene really did fuck with me.
Which scene was it?
The scene where they taught kids sex right there in front of them. Basically, they had a Shota and Law. These are all kids that were coming into elementary school. And remember, the whole society's run on sex and a sex-positive society. There were parts of it that I agreed with. However, this was not one of them. One of them was like, oh, this is what a vagina looks like. And they actually had, they were having adults have sex while the girls were watching on one side and the boys were watching on the other. And I was like, oh my God, that's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. And that's what we're getting into. That's what we're rolling into. Transmetropolitan actually talked about that. By the way, I'm reading more Transmetropolitan, so be on the lookout for more of that. And yes, you'll want to read along with me. Because you're going to be like, God damn it, Warren Ellis was a fucking prophet. Yes, he was Me Too'd to infinity and blacklisted beyond any hope. I mean, DC doesn't even care. I could put it on YouTube and they wouldn't copyright strike me. Because they hate Warren Ellis so much now. Warren Ellis is absolute garbage to them. Because he apparently harassed all these women and all this crap that... I don't know. I don't know the situation. All I know is the man's a goddamn prophet. Everything in that book is happening, or has happened, or is worse. And when I saw the sex puppets, the little ad, I went on about 10 minutes talking about it. So we will go into that. Just more shit is coming. More rants are coming. Believe me, we've only just begun. As they continue to push this goddamn bullshit. And then they label me the degenerate. Oh, you're into... This is a fictional world, you asshole. In fiction, we don't push fiction onto reality. By the way, the opening to House Party, which we are going to play, I'm going to read it. And I want you all to pay attention. Because I love what the developer of House Party has said. And it is glorious. It needs to be hung on a... It needs to be on a plaque. Because it's everything that's wrong with society right now. And I just couldn't believe it when I'm like, yep, that's what the issue is. Fiction, it's an issue. Fiction, oh my God, look at that Berserk panel. Oh my God, look at that anime character. Oh my God, let's teach kids to fucking masturbate. Are you goddamn kidding me? Fictional characters are too much, but by all means, let's teach the children. I'm in Clown World, I'm in the Twilight Zone, and I'm in, what is that? The Outer Limits, all rolled into one. It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. Okay, we had one about Elon Musk. We had several more articles. We had some stuff about OnlyFans. 1 in 5 people are considering OnlyFans to afford living in New York City as rent skyrockets.
Yeah.
But Russia is reportedly legalizing the piracy of games, movies, and more, of course. And Audacity has become spyware, so we're not using it. We used to use Audacity for our stuff. Kelly Clarkson has settled her divorce and will pay Brandon Blackstock over $1 million, I believe. And then she also pays $45,000 a month in child support. Let her pay this time. Let her pay. And we're going, and we
thing
have
about that is that's not hurting them any at all.
And then we have, this is very interesting. I wanted to talk about this one, but we'll talk about it later because we need to get on to the other games.
Yeah.
Grimes says Elon Musk lives at times below the poverty line. And we will talk about all about that next time, because I really want to go in deep about that. She actually says that her side of the mattress had a hole in it, and he refused to replace it. He's the richest man in the world, and he still lives a poverty. And I think that's very humbling.
There's a reason why he's so wealthy. Yes. He doesn't just go crazy on spending.
Yes.
Now, that might be a little out there because...
Well, I agree with it. I like him that he's that humble.
I mean...
It's much. Yeah. It's much. It's a bit much. But, you know, he is on the spectrum, and maybe that's just the way he does things.
You know, they had a guy on the that was autistic on American Idol last night.
I know.
Got through.
I know. I saw it. Not all of it, but... Let's see. All right. Now, since everybody's playing Elden Ring, let's go ahead and do a funny one from Hard Drive before we close tonight. You guys might have not wanted to rant, but, you know, we got to rant. We'll do some more articles. Don't worry. There's more articles and more rants coming. Never running out of either. How to beat the first boss in Elden Ring. Wait, that was just a regular guy? Admit it. You need help beating the first boss in Elden Ring. It's okay. We won't judge you. To be honest, the knight with the big spear at the gatefront ruins is one of the most fearsome opponents we've ever faced. It took us more than 35 times. There were moments where we thought it was impossible. We rage quit several times. We screamed. We cried. But we persevered. And in the end, we won. With these essential tips on how to beat the first boss in Elden Ring, you can win too. First off, it says, number one. Don't get stabbed. First off, don't let the knight with the big spear stab you through the heart with his big spear too much. That's one of the things that makes this boss so difficult. You can only let him stab you through the heart with his spear a few times before you die. It's ridiculous and basically unfair. But luckily we found an exploit in the code that can help even the playing field. Dodging. After dying about 15 times, we discovered a hidden mechanic that allows you to move out of the way of or dodge the attacks from the knight. Unfortunately, there is only a short window of time you can dodge successfully. Right before he swings at you, if you don't time it right, the knight will stab you with his spear, even though you definitely pushed the dodge button. It's unclear whether From Software is aware of this glitch. For advanced players only, there is also a secret block button. This button will prevent an attack from hitting you by stopping it with a weapon or shield. This blocking method, also known as guarding, is much more advanced and is not recommended for new players. You will never beat the knight this way unless you are really good at video games. And even then, we don't like your chances. Stick to dodging for now and look for our in-depth guide on blocking method once we have figured out how it works. 2. Make sure to hit him with your weapon. The other tip for beating this boss is you need to strike the knight with your weapon. We thought we were familiar with this tactic, having used it to beat such titles as Assassin's Creed Origins, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and Assassin's Creed Valhalla. In those games, it requires a delicate balance of pushing the attack button as fast as you can and tapping the rolls sometimes randomly as well. But when we tried that approach against the knight in Elden Ring, he blocked the attack with his shield. We resorted to something more experimental, holding down attack to see if it does anything different. But he stabbed us through the heart when we were still winding up, so we didn't even get to see what it did. Dead end. So how did we hit him, you ask? We tried what we're calling the one dodge, one hit method. That's where you dodge at the moment he tries to attack you, and then, only then, do you hit him. You might ask, why don't I just hit him right away? It's counterintuitive, we know, and we don't want to confuse you with the technical stuff. Basically, when you swing at him from the front, he has various ways to stop you. If you dodge out of the way, you can hit him from the side, where he is more vulnerable. Does that make sense? If not, don't worry. The main thing is just to practice the one dodge, one hit method. Don't be discouraged if it takes another try before you get the hang of it. And don't be afraid to call on a co-op partner to do some of the heavy lifting. Full disclosure, that's what we ended up doing. For advanced players, I know what you're thinking. Did you try tapping the dodge button non-stop so he can never hit you? That's a great instinct, but unfortunately, Elden Ring has not introduced that feature. Your character will stop dodging after you dodge too many times in a row. We thought it was input lag on our Xbox at first, but the same thing happened on our friend's PS4 as well, so it might just be a shortcoming of the game. That's it! So that's how you beat the incredibly difficult first boss in Elden Ring. It's hard to say why From Software would put such a tough enemy so close to the very beginning. Maybe it's to scare off the casuals. Regardless, it's a bold move, and it pays off when you finally defeat him and can move on with your adventure, confident that you can handle anything the game throws at you. That's what brings us back to challenging games like this one, time and time again. Wait, that was just a normal guard? It gets worse? Is there a difficulty setting? Oh, man. Right. And they say, imagine thinking baseline features and gameplay skills present throughout and across the hobby or exploits. Okay, so that's going to be the end of our show. But if you guys want to stay on, we're going to start with House Party. So I can read the opening statement live. And then if you guys want to leave, that's fine. But you guys will get to hear it. And it's important. Because this dude said something and I was taken aback. And he was saying it basically to Twitch. Because Twitch banned his game. But anyway, this is the Grim Lord in Dead Penetration. Uh-huh. And we are out of here.
Later.
Enjoy the decline.